Well, I'm going to take us just five verses or so, maybe a bit longer than that, in Matthew chapter 12. Lots is happening in Matthew, but we've just heard about the messengers from John the Baptist. And now we hear that the Pharisees are looking for Jesus and trying to catch him out. This is an example of that. It's Matthew 12, starting at verse 1. It says this in God's word. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath." Now he answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that the priests on the Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath and yet are innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Going from that place, he went into their synagogue. And a man with a shriveled hand was there, looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus. They asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Amen. We do thank God for his word. Okay, I grew up in a house that when Sunday was an old-fashioned day of rest, maybe you know this, shoes were shined, or is it shone? Shoes were shone, shined, on a Saturday night, not Sunday morning. The TV was off all day on a Sunday. The kids were shipped off to Sunday school every week. There were no games in the street, no shopping, no homework, no nothing. That's the old idea of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, isn't it? The day of rest. Except maybe like me, you find that quite stressful. Having rules to keep meant that you couldn't relax. You were constantly thinking, "Oh, is this allowed? Am I allowed to do this?" It was a bit like the monastery where I stayed, really strict on the quiet. And it took a bit of effort to be quiet. The first day was quite stressful, but we got there in the end. It wasn't restful in the way that we would want it to be. And it's a bad understanding of the Sabbath that's the same, because we've more or less missed the point of this, or we've forgotten it. These days, you'll know that the pendulum on the Sabbath has swung completely the other way. We have Sunday trading hours, which means people are now working on the Sabbath. That's a new work day. Those days will be extended for a trial period this summer in Belfast. We know that story, don't we? There are then endless options for activities and sport, park runs, rugby, hockey, gymnastics, swimming, birthday parties. Sunday is the new extra day off work. And church is just one of a thousand options in the menu of life. And people then think they don't need it. Why is our church struggling? Why is our denomination struggling? It's an option. People don't think or realize that they need it. And yet, people are still restless, aren't they? It's a restless world. We don't just stop working. We replace work with leisure. In other words, we never stop. We fill our rest time with doing. And so you never really rest. Clearly, we need to recover this idea in our thinking, but more than that, in our hearts. And know that it's more than just for people in church. It's for everybody. The Sabbath is an integral part of the mission of God. It's a creation idea. God does it. And it's actually one of God's best ideas. It's something that the whole world needs. So what would that recovery look like? Well, the moment we just read in Matthew on the Sabbath can help. Jesus is doing a lot of theology here, but if we go slow enough, we can see it and, God willing, feel it as well. Just two big ideas this morning. The first is this. We've divorced Jesus from the Sabbath. We need to put him back in it. The strict Northern Ireland version of the Sabbath, that strict set of rules, that way of thinking, is actually nothing new. We didn't invent that. The Jews had to live under very strict Sabbath laws. And we see one of them in our passage about picking the grain. You weren't allowed to do that. That became harvesting. That's how far they took the rules. You couldn't harvest on the Sabbath. You also, interestingly, couldn't walk too far because after a certain point, it becomes work. You couldn't. All these rules. They even had one that I always laugh at. You couldn't drag a chair across the floor because that might create a trough. And all of a sudden, you were a farmer. You were working. You could. Hundreds of little laws. What was work? What wasn't? And it's the perfect distillation of the Pharisee heart. If I can know the rules and keep the rules, then I'm better than you. And I'm good. And if I'm good, then God will love me. Like them, we fall into that trap. The trap of the rules of Sabbath do's and don'ts, you know what they are. We also hit the same hypocrisy as they did. Think about it this way. You can drive your car to church, right? But you can't put a wash on. Now, they're both machines. You start them in much the same way. Wheels and drums go round and round, but what's the difference? Now, that's a bit silly, I know, but it does make my point. It comes from being focused not on Jesus, but on a rule. Instead of having Jesus at the center of our Sabbath, our lives, as Lord of the Sabbath, we make the rules our God. And it means then that we haven't grasped the gospel, not really. Not in a way that really changes the way we live. You know the people who the rules people are. You can recognize them. Do you know how? Because they'll do what the Pharisees did here. They'll call you out for breaking some rule, some made-up human nonsense. But they couldn't tell you why it's a rule. From where you go to what you wear on a Sunday, they haven't a notion. It's the rule that rules them, not Jesus. So the Pharisees do their thing. They challenge Jesus and his friends for breaking up a man-made rule. And rather than giving a nice, clear answer, Jesus throws all of us for a loop and he talks about King David. I know you got confused reading this. I did too. Jesus, your disciples are eating. They're farming on the Sabbath. They're picking grain and eating it. Stop them. And Jesus says, haven't you heard what David did? He goes into the house of God and he eats the consecrated bread. What on earth is Jesus talking about? Doesn't sound like an answer, except it is. Now, without getting technical with us this morning, he's getting them off the rules, and he shows them a person. Don't worry about the rules. Here's David breaking one of the rules, an exception to the rule that is never condemned in the Bible. People were seeing the rules, and they were not seeing people. And yet God says, doesn't he, that the Sabbath was made for us. We weren't made for the Sabbath. these rules were a burden to people. They were making it hard. No surprise that Jesus has already said to us in Matthew, come to me all who are weary and burdened. That's the rules. And what will he give us? Rest. I think we're exactly like this. We're so busy, restless, that we've forgotten what rest is. We've forgotten what Jesus offers us. It's not forgiveness all by itself. It's not good health. It's not even success in your work or your life. Look again. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. You won't find that in sport. You won't find it in family. Your friends don't have it. Work will never give you rest. Think about that one. Even coming to church won't do it. You find it in Jesus. He offers us rest, Sabbath. And in a restless world, for restless lives, it's exactly what you need. We need to drop the rule-keeping religion of the Pharisees and the well-to-do, stop striving on our own, and believe Jesus when he says at the very end of his life, it is finished. Folks, if you've not included Jesus in your Sunday, in your Sabbath, add him back in. And all the nonsense we've added will fall away. Now, what does that mean? The Sabbath is good. It's for your good and for your restoration. Now, when we do that, when we ignore the nonsense, when we Sabbath differently, we will be people who mark the Sabbath in a strange way. With Jesus back in the picture, we can ask, what's this really for? Because some will take Jesus, they do the right thing, but then they ignore the Sabbath. Folks, the church isn't full this morning. You've noticed that, haven't you? You've met people, so have I, who are good with Jesus, we love Jesus, but we're not too sure about this church. See, they go the other way. They want Jesus, but they don't want his day, and they don't want his people. That is also wrong. There's no rest there. That is a restless wrong, because Jesus says to us that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord of rest. So we need him, a true Sabbath, if we're really going to get what Sundays are all about. What are they about? Well, they're about worship. You got to come to church and really worship. And I don't just mean sing the songs. To worship is to know that you don't have to work for your salvation. That's worship. We don't have to strive for perfection. We don't have to try to be good and keep all of the so-called rules. We worship by telling ourselves the story of the gospel again and again and again. What is that? That Jesus buys us in blood and we stay bought. We are his. He is ours. We hear again and again about grace. And that is rest that keeps us from thinking that we constantly have to work and keep up. That's exhausting. And it changes our Sundays back into what God would have them be. You can skip the extra shift at work because you don't need the money or the praise of people. You have Jesus. You can miss the sports fixture because getting on the team is not as important as being part of Jesus' family. We'll look at church, we'll look at Sundays, and we'll say, that's good. Good for me, good for you, good for us. Think of it this way, that's a biblical principle. That's not the minister getting at you about coming to church. That's not it. It's a biblical principle. Think of it this way, God makes everything in 6 days, doesn't he? And he spends each evening looking at what he's made, and he says over and over again, hey, that's good. For 6 days, he does that. And on the seventh day, he rests. He Sabbaths. Now, why would he do that? because he declares that looking at the whole thing, the full creation, everything that you and I take for granted, he looks at it all and he says, do you know what? That's not just good, that's very good. When we come to church and we hear about Jesus, how he is God's full expression of love, how the Holy Spirit will capture us for a kingdom, how it's all of grace, do you know what God does? He looks at the church and he says, do you know what? That's not just good, that's very good. It's finished. And there's rest. And it means, friends, that you're free from having to earn your rest through work, through your rules. You can do nothing on the Sabbath, and it's good. Or you can do something you don't normally do, and that's good. Go for a long walk. Watch a movie. Go out for a meal with friends or family. Play golf. Whatever you want to do. If it's not how you make your living, you can do it. Now, I was thinking, Nick, you're the exception to this because the cows need milked every day anyway, but there's an idea there somewhere. If it's not how you make your living, you can do it. Look at the disciples here. They're not farmers. Not one of them is a farmer. So they can absolutely stroll through the grain fields and pick the grain for their snack. There's no problem there. Jesus says so. And that walk actually comes out of the fact that they weren't doing anything. They were bored. And somebody, I'm sure, spoke up and said, here, come on, we'll go for a dander. And out of that walk and the picking of the grain comes this teaching moment that you and I have enjoyed this morning. Jesus gets to speak about the Sabbath and real rest. Our world's noisy, isn't it? It's always on. We rarely have silence and nothing. It tends to make us uncomfortable. One of the things that the monks did in their service was that they would read the gospel, you stood up for that, and then they sat in complete silence for a good 6 or 7 minutes, and they thought about what was read. There was no sermon. You're thinking, that sounds good, give it a rest. But the silence was prickly. It took a minute, it would freak you out. If I read that this morning and sat down for a good 10 minutes, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. You are restless. We're always on. We don't do silence. We don't do nothing. It tends to make us uncomfortable, but we've lost something by abolishing boredom. Look at what can happen when there's nothing to do. Even in the Old Testament, the land got a rest. You've heard of this, the year of Jubilee or the Sabbath rest for the land. Maybe you haven't heard of that. It's in 2 Chronicles. They rested the land. They didn't plant anything. They didn't do anything with it. They didn't till the weeds. They just left it. It rested. And whatever came up out of the ground came up. And there's something in that for your Sabbath as well. In the quiet of doing nothing, whatever comes up, comes up. Whatever jumps into your mind or your heart, jumps into your mind or your heart. It's a sudden urge to call a friend and see how they are. That's good. Reading a book that you've been meaning to get to, brilliant. A nap that restores you. There's nothing like falling asleep in front of the Grand Prix, is there? That's good. Now, don't miss the fact that the TV was on there. Do you hear that? Rules. It's the walk that you go for. It helps you digest your lunch and sleep a little bit better. Or the walk that bumps you into someone you haven't seen in ages. Isn't that good? The board game that creates a family memory. Folks, do not discount nothing. Don't ignore doing nothing. Now, Jesus shows us this as well explains it. He shows us the end of our passage. He doesn't just answer the rebukes of his enemies. He doesn't just perform a miracle, even though he does both those things. Look at what he does again. He goes to the synagogue, still the Sabbath, and there's a man there with a shriveled hand. He says, "Stretch out your hand." And read it carefully. The man stretched it out, and it was completely restored. Restored. Now, he does that on the Sabbath. What does he do? He restores the man. He brings him back to himself. His hands now match. It's the way he was supposed to be. He returns him to what he should have been. He renews him completely. Isn't that what you want? Well, it's offered to us every single week. And we get to offer it to a world that is so restless. Folks, the Sabbath is not rules. It's a gift. Isaiah says it's a delight. Imagine that. It's not about rules. It's about rest. And Jesus says, "I am the Lord of rest." Let me pray for us. Father God, it is a restless world with everyone striving to be all they can be. But you call us to be your church, the body of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that we've been nothing except his. And he restores us. He gives us fresh grace. He draws us back to what matters. And it's you, Father. So help us to know real Sabbath rest and help us to spread it to others. For we do pray in Jesus' name.